Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, wow. You know what? I think we're here. By God, I actually think we are. Last week, as you know, we had a hell of a time with Blog Talk had a hell of a time. They had some serious tech issues going on. Tuesday's show was blown up. Thursday's program, you know, the one we run back to back with Mark Hoffman, blown up. Couldn't do anything. It was just unbelievably frustrating. What were we talking about? Oh, hey, James Bostic here with a conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. And you know what, guys? I bust at these cats periodically, and I try not to. I really do. Because it's a tremendous platform. There's nothing... And believe me, we've looked that really compares to this platform that we have here. I mean, it's just like, it's like a real radio show. You know, I got a producer, Melissa's listening over here on the other end. She's working the boards. If we have guests that are not in studio, then they're calling in and we can handle all this stuff. You know, and there's no other platform like this. This is just like the big guys. And I got to admit, you know, it's a really, you know, it's a pretty good deal. So last week it was tough and it was really frustrating for me because, as you know, there was a lot of shift went down last week. Oh yeah. Lots of shift went down. It was all over the place. And I was really, like I was telling Gary Benford earlier today, Gary's a visionary behind Nation Savers 2018. We talked back and forth every now and then, and I, you know, the pump was primed. I was loaded for bear on all this, and I had collected some rock solid crap, and I was, well, you guys know how I feel about Adam Schiff anyway. You know, he's not exactly up there with John Brennan, commie SOB, but Schiff's pretty high in the rogues gallery. Let's go ahead and so you know what? Since I've bloviated for the last 4 minutes. We're going to go ahead and go into extra innings. I can tell I'm in that mood. I'm feeling like preaching, and by damn, that's what we're going to do. Let's go ahead and start with this.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Ooh. Did you catch that? At the time, someone who was solid at the time. Well, what we just heard there was Joe Biden, and the prosecutor that he's talking about is a Ukrainian prosecutor by the name of Viktor Shokin. And Viktor Shokin was looking at an organization in the energy division, in the energy business, called Burisma Holdings. Now, we're not going to go through all this, but you know the deal. Barack Obama made Joe Biden his point man on Eastern European foreign policy. Ukraine, former satellite of the Soviet Socialist Republic. And, you know, at the time, you know, they're not good friends with Russia. Russians and Ukrainians, they don't like each other. As a matter of fact, Ukrainians really don't like Russians because there's been a little bit of military action between the two countries over the last few years. And there are portions of Ukraine that remain still under Russian military occupation. They've been annexed by Russia. And Ukrainians, obviously, they would have a weed up about this. So at that time, that's what was going on. It's kind of tense over there. And Barack Obama decides to make Joe Biden the go-to guy on this issue. So Joe goes over and he assesses the situation and he meets with the Ukrainian president at that time, and his name was Poroshenko. Well, Poroshenko and Biden got along really well because water seeks its own level. Birds of a feather, you get the idea. So he comes back. He comes back from Ukraine, and he's made up a deal, and they're going to get – Ukrainians are going to get some money out of this from you know, U.S. foreign aid. A few weeks after – now Hunter, son Hunter, goes out with Joe, and he a few weeks later is made a member of the board of directors of this company, Burisma Holdings. They're in the natural gas business. Money from the spring of 2013 to the autumn of 2014 is deposited in accounts from a company named Rosemont Seneca. Now, Rosemont Seneca is this hedge fund thing that Hunter's got going, and he's got a couple of partners, and one of his partners is Chris Hines. Chris Hines, the stepson of John F. and Kerry. He's Teresa Hines' son. And a guy named Devin Archer. And Devin Archer was a college pal of Chris Hines. Not to be confused with Chrissy Hines of the Pretenders. Awesomely, awesomely cool chick. This guy's just a bottom feeder. So they have this company, Rosemont Seneca. And Rosemont Seneca, for better than a year, gets these checks from Burisma Holdings to the tune of about $60,000, $80,000 a month. And this is an account from which Joe Biden gets money. This is an account from which Joe Biden gets paid. So the bottom line is they generated about $3.1 million dollars with an M, not that Dr. Evil billion, $3.1 million for the Biden family. This excludes what's happening, what's going to happen in China with Hunter Biden and JoJo. So this prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, is looking at Burisma Holdings. And he's looking at the board of directors, and he sees a Hunter Biden's name on there. And he sits back, and he says to himself, Now, this is just a dramatic reenactment. We're not exactly sure this is how it happened. But he says, you know, this Biden guy, he doesn't have anything to do with Ukraine. He doesn't know anything about Ukraine. He's been to Ukraine once with his old man, who happened to be vice president of the United States at that time, and the dude who was in charge of U.S. foreign policy money to the Ukraine. He doesn't know anything at all about the natural gas business. He was a West Point Academy dropout, coke fiend, pervert. Which I guess makes him eminently qualified for Democrat politics. But beyond that, I mean, he doesn't know anything about Ukraine. He doesn't know anything about the energy industry. He doesn't know anything about the natural gas business. But yet here he is on the board of directors for this company that's run by a Ukrainian oligarch who's tight with Vladimir Putin and connected. What's up with this? So he starts to look. And at this time in the Ukraine, they're trying to restore faith in their government as well. So they're looking to root out corruption in the, you know, the crony corruption. It's no different than what we have here. They call them oligarchs over there. Here it's just crony corruption. And just look at Barack Obama and all his cronies and who's getting rich. Secret Empires, people. That's the name of the book that we're getting all this stuff from. It's got, you need to check it out. So he's looking into Burisma because Burisma is a corrupt company, and it is in that part of the world, I don't want to say a famously corrupt company, but it is a company well known for its corrupt practices, Well, we can't have this cat looking into Burisma because, you know, the boy's on the board of directors. So we gotta get rid of him. And that's what they did. And what you heard in that 26-second bite of Joe Biden basically shaking down the Ukrainian government to get what he wants, which is the heat turned off in this investigation that could, make things uncomfortable for his son and himself as president of the United States. We find out, though, it's making things damned uncomfortable for him as presidential candidate in the 2020 election. So you have the second most powerful man in the United States government, fundamentally the second most powerful man in the free world, shaking down an ally, threatening to withhold foreign aid money unless things go a certain way. And by damn, he got away with it. Now, when he said in there, he said, and they replaced Shokin, who was apparently a legitimate guy, a square guy, with a guy named, what is his name? Yuri Lysenko. Now, Yuri Lysenko was in, the equivalent of the Ukrainian Department of Justice, but he was a deep stater. He's like the guys we got here. He was a Ukrainian Hydra. He had just been let out of prison for an embezzlement charge and corruption from when he was found out as a Hydra agent. He was exposed as being corrupt. They got him out of office. He was imprisoned for a couple of years. I think the sentence was commuted through some political chicanery. And then he was replaced. He's the guy that replaces Viktor Shokin. And once Yuri Lutsenko takes over the investigation, the investigation stops cold in its tracks. Thud. President Trump has, and again, guys, this is not new. Well, it's news now because, like, the rest of the world's finding out about it. But we knew about this a long time ago. We knew about this in the springtime of 2018, because that's when Pete Schweitzer's book came out, Secret Empires. And everything that Pete Schweitzer wrote about in that book as it pertains to the Bidens and China and the Bidens and Ukraine is spot on. I mean, dead on the target, zeroed in. Now, Matthews isn't talking about it. Kasich isn't talking about it. Scarborough's not talking about it. Shep Smith and the Foxheads, they're not talking about it. Hannity is. But, you know, Hannity, God love him, he just talks all the time, doesn't he? Yakety, yakety, yakety. He is so blessed to have the terrific and compelling guests that he has. Let him talk, pal. You didn't used to be this way. It's not about what you know. It's about what the boots on the ground know, and you need to let them speak. There's nothing I love better than that. But we're not, as you know, we're not necessarily a caller or guest-driven show. It's a lot of commentary for me, but when we, you know, the rare times that we do have a guest, number one, I want to make sure it's somebody compelling and somebody that is worthy of your time and listenership. And I think, for the most part, I've done pretty good over the years. But you bring them on to talk. Let them talk. Anyway, nobody's telling you these things is the point that I'm trying to make here. But it happened, and what happened with China is. Well, that poses a very real and present danger in terms of a threat to our national security. If we got time, and I've already put this thing up to 90 minutes, you know, we'll talk about that too. But all this stuff leads up. Since the Mueller report fizzles, there's nothing there. And the Mueller testimony, yeesh. Guy had more trouble remembering things than Joe Biden. So that's gone nowhere almost immediately. Well, the day and all this stuff ended with the Mueller testimony and report, pow. This whistleblower thing comes up concerning this phone call that the President of the United States had with the current President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. So he's talking to Zelensky, great job. You know, we did the dramatic recreation of that a couple weeks ago. But, you know, he's talking to him and they're talking. And a couple of things come up. One of the things is CrowdStrike, and we'll get into that after a while. It was a company that rather – this company, CrowdStrike, is a Soros-funded group, part of the Soros cartel, I think. Everything's in the Soros cartel. If it's on the left and it's progressive, borderline communist, tyrannical – Soros money's in there somewhere. You know, he's like a James Bond villain. So rather than turn over the servers that the DNC believes have been hacked by the Russians, they turn it over to this group CrowdStrike, because Hillary Clinton's in the middle of her email scandal. And so the FBI is forced, because of the influence and power of Hillary Clinton, to outsource their forensic investigation of these servers to this group CrowdStrike. Well, you know what they got. As near as I can understand it, the CrowdStrike thing has money funneled through it through another Ukrainian oligarch, Boris Badenov. What's in the name? So I can't remember, and that's a good name. So Boris Badenov and CrowdStrike, the thinking is, and I haven't seen anything anywhere to dispute it, that these servers from the Democrat National Committee are in Ukraine, and they're in the possession of Mr. Badenov. Donald Trump wants to know about this. So he's talking to Volodymyr Zelensky, and the conversation goes this way. And as an addendum, and you can find the transcript out there anywhere, people. You can go check it out. Like I said, I read it here to you. It wasn't a very long call, and the meat of the thing probably took up no more than about 5 minutes. They talked about the CrowdStrike thing and the possibility of the servers still remaining within the Ukraine if they are even intact. And they also talked, Trump wanted to know about this deal with Biden putting the squeeze on the former Ukrainian president, Poroshenko, to can one of his lawyers that was looking into Joe's son's business with Burisma Holdings. And the guy says, yeah, sure, we will. And as a lot of you know by now, also in 1998, Bill Clinton signed a treaty, an agreement, a reciprocity with Ukraine in terms of criminal investigations and crimes committed in the United States that may have some bearing on things that are happening in Ukraine and vice versa. Now, the Democrats would have you believe that there was some sort of a quid pro quo. There was this for that, and there wasn't a this for that. We do have, though, Adam Schiff. Yeah, Adam Schiff. We have Adam Schiff's version here. Let me see if I can pull that up. Wow. What an idiot. Yeah, we have it here. I've got it. Now, you know, I never call anybody an idiot unless they really are. I mean, that's just because I'm just not that kind of dude. Sweet-natured, forbearing, all that sort of thing. But this guy. Anyway, here it is. Here's what I'll just let him just go ahead, Ad. Go ahead and just say it.
The notes of the call reflect a conversation far more damning than I or many others had imagined. It is shocking at another level that the White House would release these notes and felt that somehow this would help the president's case or cause. Because what those notes reflect is a classic mafia-like shakedown of a foreign leader.
Oh,
they reflect a Ukrainian president who was desperate for U.S. support, support to help that country in a hot war with Putin's Russia, a country that is still occupied by irregular Russian forces, and in which people face a very
hardships, stuff,
dangerous and continuing,
yeah, that's
and
good,
destabilizing action by their aggressive neighbor.
Right.
And at the same time, a president of the United States who immediately after Ukraine president expresses the need for further weapons, tells the Ukraine president that he has a favor to ask.
Oh,
the president
here
communicates
we go.
to his Ukrainian counterpart that the United States has done a lot for Ukraine. We've done an awful lot for Ukraine. More than the Europeans or anyone else has done for Ukraine.
Way more.
But there's not much reciprocity here. This is how
a
mafia
country,
boss talks.
Ah.
What have you done for us? We've done so much for you, but there's not much reciprocity. I have a favor I want to ask you. What is that favor? Of course, the favor is to investigate his political rival, to investigate the Bidens.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And it's clear that the Ukraine doesn't understand exactly what
Adam, that's
what
enough. That just okay. Stop, but yeah. Okay, that's good. Forget about it. Now, when Adam Schiff made these comments, and by the way, this was not at a presser. These comments were read. This is part of the congressional record. When they started their brouhaha. The president and the White House had already released the transcripts of the phone call before Adam Schiff started talking Schiff. In other words, had he chosen to, Adam Schiff could have been provided with a copy of said transcript. He could have seen with his own remarkably protruding eyes that what he was saying, it was completely contrary to what he said. He didn't do that. He just went ahead. And set up the call, of course, in that mob boss kind of construct, which water seeks its own level. That's how these guys think. And, you know, that's why they say it the way they say it. Now, in this whole deal, and I don't know why, because he's going to fail her as he has failed her in the past, and she may not have any choice. Nancy Pelosi has elected, because of the way this whole whistleblower thing convolutes into the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence that Adam Schiff chairs, she's decided to make him the point man on this impeachment by fiat gambit that she's trying. Folks, again, there can be no impeachment until the House votes on a resolution for impeachment. Said resolution, of course, then goes to the Senate, where the Senate looks at it. They've got to pass it by 2/3. Then you got to go to a trial. This is theater. Just theater. Dangerous theater. Costly theater. Oh my gosh. Yes. Extremely so. But it's theater because this is not how it goes. This Nancy Pelosi sits up there and she wraps herself up in the flag and the Constitution, and Donald Trump's the greatest threat to, the greatest existential threat to our democracy, to our republic. This is probably the first time in Nancy Pelosi's 113 years on this planet that she's actually referred to this country as a republic. She's been going around quoting Ben Franklin. A lot of you noticed that. She quotes Ben. Of course, you know, she went to school with one of his kids. And so she probably heard a lot of stuff hanging around the house. So she has Gerald Nadler and she has Adam Schiff as her point men on this impeachment theater show. And that's basically what this is. It's a show trial, and all Marxists and communists, fascists, they love their show trials. Communist history is replete with them. Doesn't matter where you go. Cuba, Russia, China, Vietnam, Korea. Doesn't matter. But these guys are idiots. Adam Schiff is an idiot. Adam Schiff, this guy right now that is entrusted – fundamentally the hopes and the dreams of the Democrat Party and everybody that hates Donald Trump are resting squarely on his very sloped shoulders. Adam Schiff. Oh, yeah. The wily coyote of the House of Representatives. Oh, I had to throw back my head and laugh on that. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You know what we're doing? What a maroon. What a stooge. Okay, let me get out of here. We need to find some music, and I'm going to do that right now. We're down at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. And like I said, I've already said it for 90 minutes. We're going extra hours, and we will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this.
I'm like a bird let out of its cage, and I intend to vent my rage. So put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me. I've had enough of your flapping jaws. Now get in that kitchen and fry me some hogs. And open me a can of beer and set the TV remote right here. And wear something sexy if you're gonna talk. Just put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me. I've done enough time in the state penitentiary. I'm like a bird let out of his cage, and I intend to vent my rage. So put down the phone, you ain't calling the law on me.
Singers Lonnie Mack, Twang, and Eddie Hisman ring. We're going steady. Take it easy. Take me high, lie, lie. House of fire. No commotion. Poker passion. Deep for purple satisfaction. Baby, baby. Gotta get me. Give me getting hot. Sammy's cooking. Leslie Gore. Richie Valens. End of story. My Visa Fuji. I'm a Kama Sutra. Rama Lama. Richard Perry. Spectre Barry. Righteous Archer. Dilson Harry. Shimmy, shimmy. Coco Pop it. Fastest back and finger pop it. Callie Simon, Ivy Holder, Rolling Stone, and a folder. Johnny Cash and Johnny Rivers kissing. Now I got the shivers. Mungo Jerry, Peter, Paul, and Paula, Mary, Mary, Dr. John, and Nightly Tripper, Doris Day, and Jack the Ripper. Got it, Ghost of Goddess, what a Leah Russell. Give me Sheldon, Miracles, and Smokey Blitz. Slide guitars, Defender, Babes, and Mushroom, Mama, Bonnie Brown, and Wilson Pickett. Stop it, kick it.
Life is a rock.
Brandon, Norman, Oakland, Denver, John, and Osmond, Donnie, Fiji, Kayla, ZZ, Top, and LLB, then DD, Donna, David, Bowie, Steely, Dana, Sing Me, Prada, CC, Ryder, Edgar, Winner, Jonas, Summers, Isaac, Martin, Connie, Fonda, Eric, Clapton, Pedal, Wallace, Steve, the Foster, Doodah, Doodah, Good Vibrations, Healthy, Rhonda, Surfing Girl, Little Honda, Tata, Tata, Honey, Honey, Sugar, Sugar, Yummy, Yummy, CBS, and Warner Brothers, RCA, and all the others.
Life is a rock, but the radio rolls me. Gotta turn it up louder, so my DJ told
Absolutely, we are. Hey, James Bostic here. We're back. Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Humming along on all 12 cylinders tonight. These guys, thanks, Blog Talk. I sound great, and I owe it all to you. If you were listening, if you tried to listen to the shows last week, you know, we had a tough time. Blog Talk was having problems, and man, they are back, and they are back with a vengeance. So we're here Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Mojo50 Radio, mojo50.com. Mojo50. You can go there and just click on the show. They got apps all over the place too, and they have a YouTube deal because some of the hosts and their programs have a video component as well. But you can go to the show tab, and everything's listed in its order and rotation in the schedule, you know, day to day, week to week. You can listen to what's playing at the time. You can go back, you missed a show, and you can catch it in its archived form. Mojo50.com. Okay, where were we? Adam Schiff. Yeah. The ad man. So again, like I told you, he's the point man for impeachment. Gerald Nadler, having dropped the ball, they've passed it over to Adam Schiff. Now, I think it was 2017, so just a couple years ago, Adam Schiff was not the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He was at that time the ranking Democrat, because at that time, you know, it was the House was held by the Republicans, and we've told you how that switches. So when the Democrats took over the House, he became the chairman as ranking Democrat. He would accede to the chairmanship, and that's what he did. But at the time, he was the ranking Democrat on the. Oh, man. On the Permanent Select Committee. Well, there are these two guys, right? I can't remember their names. They're Ukrainians. There we go again. Ukrainians. And their stage name is Vovan and Lexus, which is Ukrainian for John Boy and Billy. All right? These guys are... they're crank callers, okay? They're crank yankers. The Ukraine or the Russian version. Well, what they do is they get in touch with the then ranking Democrat on the House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence, Adam Schiff. Yes, they do. By God, they actually do. And he talks to them. And the contents of that call are as follows. Now, here's the backstory. Vovan and Lexus, yeah, I know, but anyway, Vovan and Lexus call Representative Schiff's office, one of them posing as a Russian functionary. And they're calling Adam Schiff because they have some information, some materials concerning Donald Trump when he was in Moscow in 2013 for a Miss Universe pageant, which, you know, he used to own those. Well, the bottom line is at some time during the 2013 – okay, never mind. Let's just go ahead and do this. So what these guys are peddling, or what they're yanking Schiff's crank on, is some compromising materials from a 2013 visit to Moscow made by Donald Trump and some of the stuff that happened afterwards. Here it is. Adam Schiff and Vovan and Lexus. This is great.
Hi. All right. I'm going to put Mr. Schiff on the phone, and then I guess are you going to transfer him to Mr. Parubi?
Yes, of course.
Great. Thank
yes,
you.
We will. Thank
Hi,
you.
Hi. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Schiff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I know that you work for investigation regarding Trump and Russian government.
Yes.
We know some important information about it.
And that is documented as well in materials you want to provide to us?
Yes. Could I explain you where we are?
Yes, of course. But, you know, again, I would just caution that our Russian friends may be listening to the conversation, so I wouldn't share anything over the phone that you don't want them to hear.
No, I don't think that it will impact on our investigation.
Yes. Well, please, go ahead then.
In November 2013, Mr. Trump visited Moscow. He visited a competition Miss Universe, and there he met with Russian journalist and celebrity Ksenia Sobchak.
I'm sorry, can you explain that again? While he was in Moscow in November 2013, he met with a journalist and
well, she's poor journalist. But anyway, she became famous because of Putin is her godfather.
Okay, Putin is a godfather. Okay.
She's also known as a person who provides girls for escort for oligarchs. And she met with Trump and she brought him one-hour Russian girl, celebrity Olga Buzova, who also known as
Olga
with a strange reputation.
Olga
with a strange reputation.
Olga Buzova.
You got her number?
Buzova. So
yes.
Olga Buzova is a friend of the reporter Sobchak?
Yes, she's a friend of reporter and I think the special agent of Russian Secret Service, Ksenia Sobchak.
She is
that
spy.
Sobchak is or Olga is?
No, Sobchak is.
They're all spies.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe
yes.
pageant.
Absolutely, and she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Just short relations.
Okay.
He has cousin, only 5 foot tall.
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Naked Trump.
Okay. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials.
He knows everything.
Sobchak and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
You can hear Adam Schiff's heart skipping a beat right there.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
We
sure,
want pics, buddy.
When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sobchak and Buzova where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely. And
absolutely,
we
yes, all of it. We have it all.
Was a mediator between Trump and Russian government who met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was a Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Ukupnik, who met with Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn in a special Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Okay.
And don't you speak
special
English?
It's a Russian district in Brooklyn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they use the special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, weather is good on Deribasovskaya.
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa. Did you hear?
Yes, I did. So it's a street in Odessa.
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya. Deribasovskaya.
Deribasovskaya.
Okay. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details.
Yeah, you better.
And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes.
Then they would take the decoder ring
that,
and figure out formula to speak from there.
Never released if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
Okay. Well, obviously, we would welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings. so we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
Of course, we will provide you all our copies of all our materials, but I also would like to let you know that Sobchak and Buzova will pretty soon visit our country, and we could arrest them and deliver them to your embassy, and we also could extradite them to your country, and you can put them to your special jail, Guantanamo.
Well, I'll be in touch with the FBI about this, and
we're going to put two Russian chicks in a prison with a bunch of Muslims in Guantanamo.
These materials,
oh my God!
Both our committee and to the FBI, and so we'll make arrangements between my staff and yours on how to facilitate that, and we'll also obviously let the FBI know about Buzova and Sovchak's planned travel to Ukraine.
I also advise you to check all Sobchak's visits in the U.S. because she was in the U.S. very often, and just
excuse me for a moment. I must take a visit.
And I also would like to look at a Russian cafe on Brighton Beach, Langeron, and especially on their head of Russian mafia, Uncle Misha.
Uncle Misha? And
yes.
He's in Brighton Beach.
Yes, he's the head of Russian mafia, and he's located on that restaurant on Brighton Beach.
Okay.
I just want to advise you just look at them, please.
Alrighty. Good. This is very helpful. I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I hope that my information will be useful for you and your committee. And I also would like to advise you, when you or your colleagues will meet Mr. Trump, I advise you to tell him the first part of the password on the weather is good on Deribasovska, and look how his face will change the color.
And so those passwords were used with Mr. Trump?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We will be back in touch with you through our staff to make arrangements to obtain these materials for our committee and for the FBI, and I appreciate you reaching out to us.
Well, let's be in touch, and I will wait for your response from FBI.
Excellent. I'll have them follow up as soon as possible, and I thank you again.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, when this came out, and it did, because these guys did it for the express purpose of broadcasting it, and when it came out, and it did, the shift people went, oh, we knew they were ribbing us the whole time. We knew they were having us on. We just played along with them. We were going to, okay, and you know, I would imagine to the uninitiated, there were probably people out there who don't realize what an idiot Adam Schiff is, and they most likely gave him the benefit of the doubt. Well, the truth of the matter is somewhat different. He stayed in contact with these cats. He had his staff continue this conversation for a few weeks, I'm pretty sure, if I can remember the article, after he had this conversation on the phone with them. And they strung him along the whole time. Now, I suppose that he probably gets some kind of admiration points in his zeal and in his hatred for the president and wanting to remove him from office so much that he was willing to get chumped in the quest for looking, in the quest of trying to find nude photos of Donald Trump. I've listened to that a couple times. He thought he was onto something, and he thought he was going to have to. That was Adam Schiff playing it cool. That was Adam Schiff playing it cool. That is the dude, as I said earlier, holding all the hopes and dreams of the Democrats and the Never Trumpers who hate Donald Trump, he has them in his hands. And I think he's getting ready to sneeze. Now, this whole thing with the dude, the whistleblower, again, this is product. The Schiff dossier is no different than the Steele dossier. It's manufactured. I'm going to have to hit the mute button here for just a moment. And it was manufactured by, according to some people who have been looking into this at Conservative Treehouse, it's a CIA operative. He's a registered Democrat. They have a name. I mean, they speculate that it is this particular operative. I think his name is Michael Carter. He was a John Brennan guy. John Brennan, that communist SOB. He was a John Brennan dude in the CIA. And he was part of this. Now, it just gets shakier. And one of the points that I wanted to make last week about this, it's been, the Democrats are Wile E. Coyote. Okay, let's just think of this as a Roadrunner cartoon. The president is the Roadrunner, beep, beep, and the Democrats are Wile E. Coyote, super genius, and they set out all these traps, and in spite of their best efforts, and you know, they're considerable because these guys have spent a lot of money and ruined a lot of lives and poisoned millions of minds and divided this country in the process to try and get rid of this guy. And everywhere they go, it's like, They step back through their own minefield, and every foot they, you know, every time they step, and they still don't get it. So after the last two mines of the Mueller report and the subsequent Mueller testimony, that wasn't enough. The very day of the Mueller testimony falling through in August, was the same day this cat filled out his whistleblower form. And so, bang, here we go again. September, you know, 2 weeks later in September, what comes to light? This whistleblower form concerning this phone call to the Ukraine that the president has made, a congratulatory phone call to Volodymyr Zelensky, and wanting to look at, hey, check out this CrowdStrike thing. And we heard something about Joe Biden shaking down Paryshkin, anyway, the previous president, about a special prosecutor looking into some swamp crap that his son was involved in. He is treaty bound, the president of the United States, to ask about these things if he knows about it. He is the chief executive, okay? He executes, and that's what he was doing. But they've taken this call, and they've trumped it up into Donald Trump being the powerful American politician who is shaking down the Ukrainian government. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have already forgotten about this.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko. They would take action against
Poroshenko,
the prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Yeah. Yuri Lutsenko, we've already talked about that. So we see who the real shakedown artist is, but they're trying to frame up Donald Trump as being the guy who was really putting the screws to Ukraine over something. So the whistleblower makes his report. Now, keep in mind, all these things we've talked about for the last hour, and we still got 30 minutes to go, all these things we've talked about took place last week. And here we are already with the backstory. These things, these schemes, these connivances, these intrigues, this treason, is unraveled almost as quickly as it is presented for our perusal. A guy by the name of Fred Flights. And he's been in the business a long time. And he worked in the Trump administration. Let me find that up. It's a clip that he did on Breitbart USA on Sirius XM. It's kind of long. It's about 18, 20 minutes. But we've got the time, and I want to go ahead and play it. I've got it broken up into two parts. And he gives he presents a very compelling case as to why this is what we all, you know, think it is. Fred Flights, this is on Breitbart News Daily from a couple days ago, shortly after this whole thing unfolded.
We are talking about the CIA quote-unquote whistleblower. And the hearings today we saw on Capitol Hill with the Director of National Intelligence, who was explaining this complaint and, you know, getting grilled by the Democrats on Capitol Hill. And one of the when this complaint was released, or we all got to see it, it was declassified, one of the people that tweeted about it that had some great insight into it that everybody was retweeting is Fred Flights, who is the president of the Center for Security Policy. And he served in 2018 as the deputy assistant to the president and to the chief of staff of the National Security Council. And he has previously held national security jobs with the CIA and the DIA and the Department of State and the House Intelligence Committee. So he knows the ins and outs of our intel community. And I am delighted to welcome him to Breitbart News tonight. Fred, welcome to the show this evening.
Good to be here. Thank you.
You know, Fred, your tweets were spot on, and I want you to, and you have a great article, an op-ed at the New York Post this evening that I noticed just posted. Tell us what you made of this, quote-unquote, whistleblower's complaint, you know, that was declassified today about President Trump and this Ukrainian phone call that he had with the Ukrainian president.
Well, let's start with how strange this hearing was today. We had the Director of National Intelligence before the committee. He couldn't answer the questions because they were all about policy. You see, this is not an intelligence matter. The president isn't part of the intelligence community. Intelligence officers can't lodge complaints with their inspector general because they don't agree with the president's policies. But that's what happened here. Now, concerning the complaint, it looked like it was written by a team of attorneys. I mean, I was an intelligence analyst for 19 years. We don't write that way. If you see the very detailed legal footnotes to this, this, I think, was a setup job that included others, probably attorneys with the House Intelligence Committee. And I say that, and listen to this very carefully. Adam Schiff was talking and tweeting about the president meddling with Ukraine and leveraging aid to Ukraine to hurt the Bidens in August before this appeared. And lo and behold, this complaint happens to be filed, so it will hit his committee. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yes. Now, okay. Talk to us about also the fact that, okay, we got, you know, Robert McGuire, the Director of National Intelligence. One of the things that they kept grilling him on is they wanted to know, well, why didn't you submit this thing? What was going on here? You know, they were accusing him of doing something wrong. And he explained the process, right? He said, like, look, this is an intelligence matter, as you said. That's why it went through the DOJ first, and the president has privilege here. So that was the thing that he made very clear. But one of the accusations that they kept going after is that, oh, this conversation, this phone call, the transcript of it was placed in some super secret, special, secure, you know, file database. And that shows that they were trying to keep this secret. What did you make of that, Fred?
I'm glad you asked. As executive secretary of the NSC, I edited and processed transcripts of presidential phone calls with foreign leaders. And there's a very secure area of the computer system where these are placed. What you just said, I think, is false. Absolutely false. And because I already know there's a secure place to put this stuff. And the allegation was, to protect this stuff, they were putting it into an intelligence computer system controlled by the CIA. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the White House store something sensitive in a CIA computer system? It's ridiculous. I just think the person who made this made it up.
Yeah, I'm a little... especially considering that, okay, this is a CIA operative, right? And I was just reading to our listeners a quote from back in 2016 in December, an article that was quoted in the Daily Beast talking about how the CIA officials, on a background quote, saying that they hate Trump's guts. That's a direct quote. So he doesn't have a lot of friends there, apparently. Why would they store something that they were super secret, wanted to, like, that was nefarious, that the administration was doing, on the CIA's servers?
Well, they wouldn't. Look, most intelligence officers are not political. The vast majority of CIA officers, they loyally serve whoever is president, and the many, many people in the intelligence community support the president. But every organization has bad apples. And if something is politically sensitive, they're not going to store it in an intelligence computer system. And I don't know where this allegation came from. I think it's nonsense.
And this is this is supposedly a CIA operative. That's what we're hearing from, who this whistleblower is. And what he was writing here is a hearsay. I mean, he heard it from somebody, and then he was quoting accounts from the Hill, like news articles. That just seems so ridiculous. What do you feel about the actual accusation? Let me ask you that, Fred.
Well, these phone calls are listened to and transcribed by intelligence officers in the White House Situation Room. And there may be an intelligence officer in a regional office, like the Europe-Russia office, that may also see it. And I would have seen it as the executive secretary. Anyone who works on these or has access has to control them very strictly and not talk to anyone about them who's not on the dissemination list. Read this complaint. It's pretty clear. This person wasn't on the dissemination list. People were talking to him about the complaint, even though he did not have the need to know or the right to know about this document. That says people aren't following the rules. They're back briefing their agencies on extremely sensitive material that they're supposed to keep confidential. They're violating the president's trust.
Is it any wonder then that, I don't know what kind of security, if they saved it in a special super safe place or not, as you said, but is it any wonder why they might want to put it in a secure place if people are leaking this stuff?
It was already in a secure place. That there's nothing to that allegation. I just don't know where that came from. It's already in a very secure place. I don't think there's any validity to that allegation at all.
You're probably right. As we've seen with other past allegations like this, it seems to be falling apart. We've seen that already with this. Some of the things that he alleged are just not so.
Yeah.
The people that were even attending on the call. Can I ask you also, part of what's being alleged here, some of these things in this allegation, there's the accusation that the president was behaving inappropriately or doing or illegally. And the way that he was talking with, the president of Ukraine, and the whole mention of CrowdStrike and all this. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what did you make of that? Honestly, is this something that struck you as being, out of the ordinary? The way that the president was talking, was it inappropriate, or is it, sort of par for the course?
Look, there's no question the president didn't do anything illegal or anything required this to be reported or anything that was impeachable. And the Wall Street Journal and National Review, who I think give the president pretty fair treatment, they're not trying to suck up to him. They've been pretty clear about that, too. If this whistleblower really thought that something had been done wrong by the president, he could have gone to the Foreign Affairs Committees, to the defense committees, the government oversight committees, but he can't go to the intelligence committee because it's not an intelligence matter. But it was made one so Adam Schiff could handle it.
It's amazing. Yeah, that's That is exactly what was going on, it seems. And that seemed to be the frustration with McGuire today. He was like, look, I did everything I was supposed to do. It felt as if they were, you know, impugning this man's character when he just was following the actual rules. Is that, I mean, how, what did you take away from the way that McGuire handled himself?
Schiff was trying to argue any complaint submitted to the IC Inspector General has to be reported to Congress if it's considered serious. What if the complaint doesn't belong with the Intelligence Community Inspector General, like this one? Well, what I would have done if I was the IG, I'd say, well, you can't bring this to us. You're going to have to bring it to someone on the Hill because this doesn't involve an intelligence equity.
Yes, I agree. Now, okay, this the whistleblower.
Okay, I told you wrong, Michael Carter. It's not Michael Carter. It's a guy by the name of Michael Barry. He was a CIA guy that worked inside the Trump White House for a while. And Hydra agent, okay? Mid-level, mid-upper level Hydra agent. Deep state operative inside the Trump White House. It is speculation. We don't know, but all the indicators point to it being a CIA guy named Michael Barry. So, you're a whistleblower, and you want to, ever since the whistleblower act has been enacted, which is
we are talking about the CIA quote-unquote whistleblower and the hearings today that we saw on Capitol Hill with the Director of National Intelligence, who was explaining this complaint and, you know, getting grilled by the... Yes, I agree. Now, okay, this, the whistleblower, he has not been named, obviously. And, you know, I'm sure you have many strong feelings about whether he should be named or not, but I just got to tell you, just this is just me as Jane Q. Citizen, and I'm not obviously a member of the intelligence community, but I feel really like, yeah, you should put your name on something like this, because you are upending our political, you know, system here. Our, right now, you're putting us, you've launched us into this impeachment thing, or the Democrats have, based on your work. And you're not going to put your name on it? That just doesn't fly for me. What do you make of that?
I completely agree. If this is so serious, you should be prepared to stand behind it. If you get fired for it, you're standing on your honor. But we know very well that if this person was fired, he'll be hired immediately by MSNBC. So this is not going to be a career-ending incident. This is political 100%. And as I said, I think the House Intelligence Committee Democrat lawyers are deeply involved in it.
I know Colin wants to jump in here. Go for it, Colin.
You're going to officially solve the squabbles in the Breitbart editorial calls. So we've been arguing for days about what to call this person, because especially once we had the transcript, this person is not a whistleblower. They did not blow the whistle because they did not see anything. They heard people talking about things. So what do you want to call him, if not a whistleblower? What is this person?
I think he's a rogue intelligence officer. And I'd say further, he's a rogue intelligence officer who is politicizing intelligence to destroy the president.
Okay, all the Breitbart editors who heard
rogue
from
intel
the
officer. We got it. Fred Flights just gave us the title. I mean, and Fred, you know, because of your career, you know, serving in the intel community and your work also, you know, in the Trump administration and all that, I mean, how do you feel about all of this, about what's going on here? Because this, what do you feel about this for our people, our listeners? What should we take away from this?
It just seems like the Democrats are going to stop at nothing to get this president out of office before the next election. And, you know, the Russia collusion turned out to be a fraud. So they've cooked this up. And as I heard Catherine Harrod say on Fox, this seemed to be a very well-written complaint. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, usually whistleblowing complaints are not well-written. They're written by people who, you know, a little bit paranoid. They don't want to consult with other people. But this was written by a team of people. I have no doubt of that. And I'm just thinking, you know, if this doesn't work, they're going to come up with something else.
Question based Colin, on something you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you told us that you believe a lot of the CIA operatives, agents, analysts, et cetera, out there are good people, whether they're political or not, they support their president. A lot of us, especially a lot of our listeners, struggle with that because the CIA is turning, for a lot of regular Americans, into the bad guys. Are there good guys in the upper levels? Is it all bad guys, deep state types? How do we tell?
There are many, many good guys. The bad guys are the distinct minority. Some of them are in management. There's more bad guys, I think, on the analytics side. But even the vast majority of them, the non-political, they just want to do my job, their job. I shared offices with people who were quite partisan Democrats who didn't like President Reagan or really like President Clinton, and they never let the politics get into their work. And that's still the way it goes today.
What do you think of, as you mentioned, and you think that somebody obviously helped this guy write this. Who do you think it was? Was it just like a Democrat, some Democrat staffer, or, you know, there's an endless supply of lawyers in D.C., I know, that could help write something like this. Who do you think it was, though?
It seems pretty clear to me that Adam Schiff and the Intelligence Committee Democrats knew about this. That makes me think that attorneys with that committee were working with this person, or they directed him maybe to an outside attorney or to an outside expert who could help draft it. But I think the Schiff angle is very important because things he said in August almost exactly matched this whistleblowing complaint. That's not a coincidence.
What things in particular?
Okay, the interview goes on a little bit longer, but we're not going to do that. One of the things, too, and I'm sorry we got cut off there. I just went ahead and played the second half of the interview up to that point. Sometimes we get bumped, but I'm still not complaining because Blog Talk has killed it tonight. This Ukraine whistleblower event, as just like with the Schiff dossier, just like the Steele dossier and the Mueller report and testimony, these were all pre-planned. And as we begin to understand the general outline of how the Schiff dossier was assembled, we start to, you know, get into the specifics. The first one of these things that was discovered was discovered by a guy named Stephen McIntyre. And now there is evidence surfacing that recently, very recently, The intelligence community's inspector general recently created an entirely new whistleblower complaint form that specifically allows for the filing of complaints. I'm doing my air fingers quote here. Heard from others. And I don't know. I might have got cut off before I got to this. In the whistleblowing business, you have to know. You have to have direct personal knowledge, direct firsthand knowledge. You were an eyeball or ear witness to the event you're blowing the whistle on. Well, on the disclosure of urgent concern form, in its unclassified form, number three, it's on, I think, page two of the form. it says, I know about the information I am disclosing here, and there are two boxes. The first box is, I have direct and personal knowledge, as any respectable whistleblower would. And the second box is, I heard it through the grapevine. It doesn't say grapevine, but I heard it from others. Okay. So I have direct and personal knowledge, or I have heard it from others. Now, prior to this current whistleblower complaint, the intelligence community inspector general did not accept whistleblower claims without firsthand knowledge. However, the revised ICIG protocol was changed. It was put in place in August 2019, allowing for, oddly enough, the exact type of complaint now registered from the CIA whistleblower. Michael Barry, I think that's the speculation is his name. So the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community's revision was made at the same time that the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff was tweeting in August about President Trump. We just heard him say, you know, he's withholding vital military aid to Ukraine while his personal lawyer seeks help from the Ukraine government to investigate his political opponent. Joe Biden was vice president of the United States when these actions occurred. Donald Trump was not running for president, probably was only cursorily examining the possibility of running for president. It doesn't take a stable genius to see the magnitude of this conflict or how destructive it is to our national security. The Ukrainians, what he's talking about is there's these missiles, Javelin missiles, and what they do, they're a tank-killing weapon. And the Russians have a lot of tanks. I mean, a lot of tanks. They've had them ever since World War II. And the Ukrainians, they like this Javelin missile because it kills Russian tanks, kills them dead. They like that. So they need them. And God forbid that they ever have to use them, because the Russians will be mindful that they have these Javelin anti-tank weapons, and they'll hopefully act with a little prudence. So again, the revision to the form August 2019, Adam Schiff is saying the things that he's saying August 2019, the timing here, far too coincidental, America. This was a setup. The brand new version of the whistleblower complaint form, which was not made public until after the transcript of Trump's 25th July phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky and the complaint addressed to Congress were made public. And it eliminates the first-hand knowledge requirement and allows employees to file whistleblower complaints even if they have zero direct knowledge of underlying evidence and only heard about the wrongdoing from others hanging around the water cooler in the spy break room. The Inspector Community General's name is Michael K. Atkinson. He is the official who accepted the ridiculous premise of a hearsay whistleblower complaint, an intelligence whistleblower who was blowing the whistle based on secondhand information of a phone call without any direct personal knowledge. In other words, hearsay. Michael K. Atkinson was previously the senior counsel to the Assistant Attorney General of the National Security Division, Department of Justice. That makes Atkinson senior legal counsel to John Carlin and Mary McCord, names you haven't heard, but they were the former heads of the Department of Justice National Security Division when the Stop Trump operation was rolling. And just as a quick irony reminder, the Department of Justice's National Security Division was purposefully under no Inspector General oversight. In 2015, the Office of the Inspector General requested oversight, and it was Sally Yates, short-lived Attorney General, who responded with a lengthy 58-page legal explanation saying essentially, no. So all of the Department of Justice was subject to oversight except its National Security Division. So put another way, Michael Atkinson was the lawyer for the same Department of Justice, NSD players, who won, lied to the FISA court about the 80% non-compliant NSA database and the abuse by FBI contractors. They filed the FISA applications against Carter Page, you know, the ones based on the Steele dossier, and they used the Foreign Agent Registration Act violations as tools for political surveillance and political targeting. Yes, that means that Michael Atkinson was senior counsel, head lawyer for the National Security Division, the very epicenter of the political weaponization and FISA abuse. Immediately after the Carter Page warrant is approved, in the period where the National Security Division had John Carlin give us his notice, but hadn't left yet. Inside those specific 2 weeks, the National Security Division tells the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court they have been breaking the law. They specifically inform the court that they are aware of contractors who have been using the database search queries to extract information on political candidates. Michael Atkinson was the lawyer for these guys. Now, if these guys aren't operating under any type of supervision from any inspector general anywhere, they're a rogue organization doing what they want to do whenever they want, getting information on anybody they want using the NSA databases, that's not good. And it gives the current Inspector General, Michael Atkinson, a strong and corrupt motive to participate in this impeachment objective by changing the whistleblower report to accommodate this. We're almost out of time. That's all we got right now. We're going to tie a lot more of this together, hopefully, on Thursday. Blog Talk, you killed it tonight, honey. Crazy about you. We're back on again. And 90 seconds left. We do this Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A recorded version of the show goes out over mojo50radio.com. You can go there. We have a number of presences on Facebook. Talk America Radio West Virginia, Talk America Radio Texas. You can also check out good friends Don New and Donna Fiducia, Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. All those places, check them out. Mojo50 Radio, mojo50.com. That's all the time we got. You know what? We might just drag this thing out for 2 hours, 90 minutes, and I'm doing good. Not even breathing heavy. You guys take care. We will see you on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, back-to-back with our good buddy Mark Hoffman with Patriot Nation Radio Live. God bless you. God bless America, and we'll be there Thursday at 7 p.m. taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you then.